Namen. Pine Hollow's tone was as worried as his expression, as his initial incredulity faded into something else.
It's not safe to be...
What?
The prince's eyes challenged him across the table.
Honest? Straightforward?
I'm only saying I'd be astonished if the Inquisition didn't have ears closer to you than you know,
Pine Hollow said soberly.
I know exactly who the Inquisition's chief agent here in the palace is, Travis. In fact, he's been reporting exactly what I wanted reported for about 3 years now.
You bribed an agent of the Inquisition?
Oh, don't be so shocked,
Narman scolded.
Why shouldn't Clinton's spies be bribable? Only a drooling idiot who was also blind and deaf, which no agent of the Inquisition is likely to be, I think you'll agree, could be unaware of the graft and bribery that goes on every day in the temple itself, when the entire church hierarchy is as corrupt and venal as a batch of dockside pimps selling their own sisters. Why shouldn't their agents be just as corruptible as their masters in Zion?
You're talking about God's church,
Pine Hollow pointed out stiffly.
I'm not talking about God, and I'm not talking about his church,
Narman shot back.
I'm talking about the church that's been taken over by people like Jasper Clinton, Alain Maguire, and Zamsin Trinair. Do you really think for a moment that the group of four gives a good goddamn what God wants the church to be doing? Or that anyone else on the Council of Vicars is going to risk his own sweet, rosy arse by standing up to Clinton and the others just because they happen to be lying, self-serving bastards?
Pine Hollow was considerably more than simply shocked. Narman had grown steadily more open in his disgruntlement with the temple since Darko's sound, but he'd never before expressed himself that frankly about the church and the men who controlled its policies. Oh, he'd never made any secret of his opinion of Vicar Jaspar and his cronies either, at least with his cousin. But he'd never openly extended his contempt for the Grand Inquisitor and the group of four to the entire church hierarchy.
What's the matter, Travis?
Narman asked more gently.
Are you shocked by my lack of piety?
No, Pine Hollow said slowly.
Yes, you are,
Narman corrected in that same gentle voice.
You think I don't believe in God, or that I've decided to reject his plan for Safehold. And you're afraid that if Grayson or the Inquisition figure out the way I actually feel, they'll decide to make an example out of me, and maybe out of you as well, since you're not only my first counselor, but my cousin.
Well, when you put it that way, you may have a point,
Pine Hollow conceded, even more slowly.
Of course I do, and I'm not surprised that you're surprised to hear me say it either. It's the first time I've ever expressed myself quite this frankly to anyone, except possibly Olivia, but I think it's time I discuss the matter with someone besides my wife, under the circumstances. Well, someone besides my wife and Uncle Hanbill, I suppose, if I'm going to be completely accurate.
Under which circumstances? Pine Hollow asked warily, and there was active alarm in his eyes now. There was a reason his anxiety level had just soared to entirely new heights, because Hanbill Bates, the Duke of Solomon, was not simply his and Narman's uncle. Despite the fact that he was over 70, Solomon remained vigorous and sharp as a razor. Physically, he was very nearly Narman's antithesis. In every other sense, he and the prince were very much alike, except for the fact that, unlike his nephew, Solomon abhorred politics. Little though he might like the great game, though, there'd never been the least question about either his competence or his loyalty to the family interests, or to Narman himself, which was why he was the commander of the Emeraldian army. It was a post to which he was well suited, and one which allowed him to spend as little time as humanly possible in Erastor, dealing with politics.
Which, Pine Hollow reflected now, has served Narman well upon occasion. Uncle Hanbill is the dagger in his sheath, but he's so much
out of sight, out of mind, that even clever people have a tendency to leave him out of their calculations.